Welcome to the Confident ROI. Today, we got a great guest, Nicole Jansen. She's a certified human behavior specialist, and we have a great conversation about her specialty is helping people discover their edge and how that improves performance, and talk a lot about purpose, and which we have in other episodes, but Nicole pulls it all together here. And I had a nice time talking with Nicole, and I hope you enjoy the interview. Nicole Jansen, welcome to the Confident ROI.
Thank you, Alex. I'm excited to be here with you.
Well, it's great to have you on. It was a good time being on your show. And when I saw you were a human behavior specialist, I'm like, hey, that is something that would be perfect for the Confident ROI. You're the founder of Discover the Edge, and it works with people and companies to help them increase their sales, their team performance, their profitability. Can you explain to us what Discover the Edge is?
Sure. Well, the edge is actually, it depends on the context in which we talk about it, but the edge can be a lot of things. I see it as that sweet spot when you're doing what you're good at, your team is. So I look at it from three different areas as a business coach. I see it as a business, as an entity. I see the team, and then look at the individual and each individual within the team. And so when I talk about playing to strengths, I'm talking about a business, a team collectively, and individuals playing to their strengths. And so there are certain things that allow people to, and entities to work within their sweet spot. And so the edge is finding that sweet spot. What does it take to be in that zone where, you know, you're making things happen. It's fun. You know, it's fun, it's fruitful, and it's fulfilling.
Can you give us an example, maybe some of working with a client and what that looked like and how their life changed when they found their edge or discovered it?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny because a lot of times business owners will come to me and they'll say, you know, I want to make more money. And you probably have had that too, right? With you. It's like, I want to make more. We need, you know, increase our sales. Business needs to be more profitable and all that. But underlying that, there's issues that and reasons why they're not achieving the sales that they you know set out for or the goal that they have, and that's where I drill down into that. So an example I was working. For example, I've worked with a lot of franchises, and so one of my clients was a husband and wife couple that owned three franchises in a major franchise people would know the name of. And they owned the top franchise and two others. And they had 150 employees and they're making money, but they're not achieving their goals and they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is I went in and said, okay, first I got to get the context of what's going on here. And so I actually went, they were in the East Coast. And so I went and visited them, looked around and said, okay, well, first of all, I can tell you this. So first of all, there's an assessment of where you're at. Like, you know, and for them, that's what I did with them is I sat down and said, okay, where are you at right now? And then where do you want to go? We looked at what their goals were. They wanted to double and triple their revenue. But again, you know, it's not just revenue, it's profitability and it's how well your team's working together. That's where the team performance comes in. And so, it's a long story. It's Friday afternoon, a long way of saying that, we really sat down and asked and drilled into what are some of the biggest challenges, what are the roadblocks? And for them, one of the roadblocks was that, they were not optimizing their team. They actually had somebody that was a general manager that was struggling in management to lead their team and to play to help you know the team members play to their strengths, how to communicate. So there was poor communication. They also the husband and wife. The husband had just joined the team and was working together alongside her, understanding their roles. So we looked at their roles. Their team didn't have a code of honor in place. They didn't have a set of agreements in which they, how they agreed to communicate, how they agreed to work together. And so we had to put that in place. And just really, as I said, looking at, you know, where they are, and where the, you know, where they want to go, we looked at what is your vision? Like, okay, so you're throwing out numbers. What do those numbers mean to you? What is the impact when you get there? What does it look like? And so we could clarify their reason, their purpose. I find that in companies where there is a lack of motivation, high turnover, conflict within their team, oftentimes it's because the mission may be clear to the owners or not, but it, even if it's clear to the owners, it hasn't been communicated to the team in a way that is actionable, that the team knows what they're supposed to do, like where, what's their part in that, and to really buy into it and get excited about it. And so, So we went from their team being like in complete chaos, dropping the ball on all levels, and getting to the point where they were collaborating. They were having team meetings where people were, there was synergy within the team, and they were hitting records in terms of sales, in terms of profitability, and in terms of efficiency within their team. So it was a real transformation. That's one example. Lots of examples of like that, smaller businesses as well. I have one of my clients who, he was struggling to get his business going, and he was working 7 days a week to do it. I asked him, I said, when's the last time you took a day off? He says, I can't remember. I said, well, you're going to take Sunday off. He said, because he's 7 days a week, right? So not even Sundays. And so I said, you're going to take Sunday off. He said, no, I can't. I said, okay, next Sunday, because he had some plans or whatever. So he finally takes Sunday off the following week. And I said to him, I said, how'd it go? And he said, oh my gosh, it was amazing. I took Monday off too. And I laughed, and it was so funny. And you know what? We, in 4 weeks with him, we were able to cut his work week with by 18 hours. And as the owner, his work week went down by 18 hours, and we were able to increase his sales by 150% in 4 weeks. Shift in mindset and shift in priorities and his confidence, and everything went from there. And he ended up continuing to year over year double his business for the next number of years after that. So yeah, those are a couple of examples.
Well, yeah, let's start on that first one you gave. It sounded like when you started asking the owners where were they going, they weren't really sure. Right. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think I sounded confused because not confusing, I guess, in the way I was describing it to you, and it took a long way around it. But yeah, they were very unclear of where they were going, why they were actually setting the goals that they had for themselves. And so we had to go, I always go back to, I know it's become a bit of a cliche these days, but going back to the why. So why are you doing this business? Why did you buy this business? In their case, buying a franchise and building it. Why are you in this business in the first place? And so I ground them in the why. And then we look at it and build from there and say, okay, so if that's why you're doing this, where do you want to go with this? And why is that important to you? And why is it important to you now? So I shifted them in this particular case. They were also in very much, which is common, and very much in a scarcity mindset of survival. They also had a number of family issues that were going on around them in their business. And so there's also an aspect of clearing house. And, you know, cleaning house in the sense of getting things organized, you know, completing relationships that were like ties and things that slow you down, and it's just clutter. It's like integrity is something being whole and complete, right? So if you're out of integrity, nothing works ultimately. And so in their life, they were out of integrity on so many levels, relationally, organizationally. And so we just needed to break those things down and say, okay, let's build up from, stop. You know, when you're lost, what do? You got to stop and check in. Where am I? So we stopped and checked in and said, okay, where are you? What's important?
That can be difficult to get business owners to stop. It's kind of counterintuitive to stop and maybe back up a step and ask a deep question, you know, contemplate a deep question.
Yes, absolutely. Because what they want to do is they want to run forward. And as one of my...
They want to double sales, right?
Yeah, they want to double sales. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll tell you what. See, if we double your sales right now, we're going to put you under faster. So are you interested in doing that? Or do you actually want to double sales and increase your profitability and build a more stronger, more sustainable business, right? Sales is not always the answer, right? I had another client of mine who is in construction. And I said to him, I said, look, if we double your business right now, you're not going to make it. You're losing money. And we need to identify... you do this, right? I mean, as an accountant, you look at the numbers and you're like, hello, if you're losing money per deal and per job, right? In his case, volume isn't going to help you. You're just going to lose more faster. And so, yeah, a lot of times that's what they want to do is they're like, I just need more. That's my solution. We need more sales. And, you know, and it's oftentimes that's not actually the answer. The first thing is you got to make sure you have a good foundation to build those sales upon. And so we look at some of those things, but, you know, I just look at it with them and I say, what is the real outcome? Why are you doing this? And what is going to get, I'm a results driven person. I'm all about, you know, how do we get from point A to point B in the shortest period of time with integrity, of course, but how do we do that? And the fastest way is to get clear on why you're doing what you're doing and what is the path. So that's why I break it down for clients and I say, okay, first thing is that we say, okay, where are you? Where do you want to go? And then step three is how do we help you get from where you are to where you want to go? And actually the fourth thing is, what are the rules of the game? And that's where a code of honor comes in. That's where agreements come in of how the team actually operates in order to achieve the goal that they, the common goal that they set out for each other. But yeah, a lot of times business owners are like, oh, I want to do more. I don't know how many times people say, what do I need to do more of? And I'm more over the last number of years, especially I've been saying to people, you know, it's not always about doing more. Oftentimes it's actually about doing less. You're throwing a whole bunch of mud up against the wall, you know, that's not the solution, to throw more mud against the wall. You know, it's looking at why, the reason, the foundation underneath it. One of my mentors has a good saying. He says, this applies to certain personality types. And I teach personalities as a human behavior specialist. And I use the tool, predominantly use DISC. And DISC is where there's the four quadrants in the personality. So the dominant, the inspiring, the supportive, and the cautious. Anyway, so the dominant personality type is the type that we're driven. And this is my personality. It's like we're driven. We like to get things done. We're decisive. We like to be in charge. We like to take action. But if we don't watch out, and a lot of leaders have this in their personality makeup. However, if we don't watch out, we can be going the wrong direction. And as he would say, he said, you know, you're lost, but you're making good time. And, you know, and I want to help business owners to be able to avoid being lost or going in the wrong direction, but making good time, feeling like, wow, I'm so busy. We're making things happen, but are you making the right things happen? You know, and if you're having to work really, really hard in your business, where are you not enlisting your team? Where is your team checking out? If you're having high turnover or low, you know, engagement, where is your team missing out on? They're not clear on the vision. The vision isn't big enough to encompass them. You're not supporting their involvement in that. Sometimes owners will say to their team, they'll say, you know, this is where we're going and we want you to do this, this, and this, and then don't give them the tools. You mentioned when we were doing the interview on my podcast with you, you know, talking about the business tools and so forth. It's like, what do they need in order to be effective? And when you get into that sweet spot where you're in the zone and you got everybody working together towards a common goal, and you've got the tools and the resources to be able to make that happen. And most importantly, the mindset and motivation to get there, then you've got a winning team.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned that code of honor in that and rule. How did you describe it? The rules of engagement.
The rules of the game. Business is a game, right? And yep. So it's like, what are the rules?
And so, is it different than core values, or is it what's the difference with code of honor and values?
Great, great question. So core values are things like one might be leadership, innovation, right? Those types of things. Code of honor is, and I learned this actually, I always love giving credit if I've learned something from someone else and I'm borrowing it. I always want to make sure I give credit. And Blair Singer was one of my greatest mentors. Blair wrote a book called Team Code of Honor. And so that's where I learned this idea. And some people call it a team operating agreements, similar in that it's a set of rules in which you agree to play the game. Those rules are things like, okay, so if innovation is one of our core values, how do we live that out? How does that show up in our day-to-day activity? And the problem a lot of times is, you know, companies will say, well, we have our core values and people aren't operating by our core values. Well, do they actually know how to do that and what is expected? So one of the things on my code of honor in my company is mission first, team second, individual third. And I learned this from Blair. That was on his code as well. And when I worked with him, I worked for about almost 5 years, a number of years back. And so one of the things that was on his code was this mission, team, individual, which means that you prioritize when you're making decisions, does this support the mission? Number two, does it support the team? And will it support the individual? If you get those out of order, things start to go sideways, right? So if you put the individual first, whether that's a CEO or whatever, right? And we see that a lot in companies, or even as collectively stakeholders, shareholders, right? We put them ahead of the mission, then things start to go sideways, right? The mission may not get fulfilled, but if you have a mission and a worthy mission, and it's a big enough mission, like I was kind of alluding to earlier, is you have a big enough mission that it encompasses your team. There's enough room in there for them to thrive and to show up and play to their strengths. When you have a worthy mission, the team will be taken care of and the individual will be taken care of.
Yeah, because you were talking earlier about the complete chaos that was at the first company. And so companies often have core values and oftentimes they're kind of dead words on the wall. So this kind of is the parameters of actually how to make teamwork, you know, it might be a value, but actually how do you do it?
Yes. How do you live it out? Right. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to have integrity? What does it mean that we value leadership? What does that look like? What do we do? You know, it's like every day, and this is when it comes down to those practical day-to-day activities. How do we engage each other, right? So if we say that respect is one of our core values, then what does respect, you got to define that now. What does respect look like? Somebody might have, you know, one definition of what respect looks like, and somebody else, especially when you're talking cross-culturally around the world, this is a huge issue, right? Because you have certain cultures, respect is demonstrated in one way, and on the other side of the world, it is completely different. So you've got to be able to define what that is, because one person might be thinking, well, I'm being respectful, and the other person is interpreting it through their filter and saying that is completely disrespectful. So you got to get people on the same page. And so if a company doesn't have a code of honor, that's like I go in and we take, depending on the size of the company, if it's a larger company, you're going to take the key, you know, you're going to take the leaders and you help them to, and it's not just about saying, okay, here's our code of honor. Now you're all going to need to adhere to it. it's actually better to have them buy into it. So you bring them together and you say, okay, what's important to us? What are our core values? What are we about here? What's our mission? Get those things clear, because again, that's the foundation. What are our core values that will support that mission? And then what are the things that we do, or how do we demonstrate that on a day-to-day basis? And we write all those things down, and then we narrow down to what are the non-negotiables? What are the 10 things, 6, 8, 10, 12, not too many, right? Because you want people to remember. A code of honor is actually something that you want every employee to be able to know it off by heart and say, yeah, this is what we do. And a good code of honor is not something that needs to be policed from the leadership team alone or the CEO or business owner. It is something that is self-policing. So you and I are on a team. We've got a number of other people. We've all agreed that this is how we agree to play the game. We're playing football. This is how we play football. You know, this is what scoring looks like. This is how it works. These are the boundary lines, all this. So we create that framework. We all have an understanding of how we're playing this game. Now, if somebody is, let's say you see me doing something that is actually contrary to that, and you know that the impact of having a break or a breach in the code of honor means that it's going to impact us negatively as a team, and we're actually not going to reach our mission operating like that, then you can say, hey, Nicole, you know, like, this is not the way we agreed to play the game. Like, this is, you know, so you can call me on it and I can call you on it. And that's the beauty of it, because you actually get people that buy into the value of it when you have them involved in creating it. So that's like, they have a piece of it. They have an ownership to it. So you bring them together, you define this, and then it's about communicating it to the rest of the team. If it's a large organization, obviously you're not going to bring everybody into a room. You're not going to have 1,000 employees or 500 employees or whatever into a room, but you know, you're going to bring the team, and then you're going to communicate to the team as to why this is important. And what's really interesting is I was talking to one of the gentlemen who has been on my podcast, and he was talking about, okay, you know, how can we work together, him and I, and do some things in companies and training and stuff like that. And as we were working through our processes as to what that might look like, we both agreed that it was very important that if you're going to do this type of thing, a lot of training that happens, leadership team, they say, oh, you know, our team is the problem. The managers are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Let's, you know, go fix them, right? Go fix them, and that'll fix our problem. But it actually starts from the top. And so the reason why I say that is because with any code of honor, everybody needs to agree to adhere to it. And when I was on a team with Blair, there was a point in time where I actually called Blair out, because one of the things in our code of honor was we agreed to respond to all requests within 24 hours. And we'd all agreed that's the way we play. And so I hadn't heard back from him multiple times. I hadn't heard back from him for several days, a week or whatever, or not at all. And he travels a lot. And I said, hey, you know, Blair, I understand you're traveling a lot. But this is not what we agreed to. Sure. So if you're going to be away and you're traveling, you need to let us know so that we're aware. So rather than, again, a breach in code of honor, what oftentimes happens in companies is that somebody doesn't do what is the unwritten code. They don't follow the unwritten code, and nothing happens to them. There's no recourse. There's nobody says anything. Somebody shows up for a meeting late. Nobody says anything, and they just carry on. And what happens is that everybody else goes, oh, I see how that goes. So why do I need to be there on time? Joe's been on late every time. Nothing happens to him. So you know what? I'm running late today, and I'm going to get there when I want to. And everything breaks down from there.
Okay. Okay. I mean, that makes sense. And from your second example, you were talking about the 7 days a week, the guy working 7 days a week. And, you know, it took him a while to take one day off. Then he took two, and you got him to decrease his schedule by 18 hours and change his mindset. How'd you go about doing that?
Yeah. So actually in his case, I took him through a process. It was a 6-week agreement initially to work with him, and it was all on mindset. And so there was a series of questions. It's just asking him, coaching him through a process of really creating awareness in what he was doing and why he was doing it. And we do things for reasons that are those underlying reasons. I mean, I share a model which is called the results model. So results come from behaviors and actions, things that we do create results. What influences those behaviors and actions is our mindset. And then what impacts our mindset or where it stems from is certainly our talents, our personality, the DISC that I talk about, those types of things. But it's also it's the beliefs. It's the beliefs that we have about ourselves. It's the beliefs that we have about others. And it's the belief that we have about the world around us. So in his case, one of his beliefs was that I need to work harder and longer to be successful. And in fact, what that was actually doing was what I call the law of diminishing returns. So he was actually working harder and getting less results. And so in reframing that for him and having him see that and saying, wow, yeah, that's how I've been thinking. And why do I think that? And where does that come from? Wow. Okay. Well, what if we were to look at it differently and look at, you know, how can we get results? What beliefs would actually serve me in creating the results that I want and make the actions and behaviors that I'm taking more effective? Because one of the other beliefs that he had was that he wasn't good in sales. And so he was afraid. So even though he knew he had to do it, he would go out and he would meet with clients and propose his services. And he would have this like there was this underlying energy about it, this fear, this trepidation about it.
Right.
And so it would impact his results because his proposals weren't coming off right, or his presentation wasn't as effective as it could be. And as soon as we started tweaking some of these, all of a sudden he's doing meetings and he's closing 80%.
But he assumed he had to do everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, that he's a small business. So I gave you this kind of two spectrums.
Sure.
He was a smaller business. And at the time he later on had some family members that came on to support him in the business. And that was another belief. Yes, I have to do it all on my own. If it is to be, it's up to me, which is a very common mindset of entrepreneurs. And so that was something that for him, that was, he thought, I have to do everything. I have to do the selling, the delivery, all the operations. He was doing it all.
Right.
And it wasn't working, bottom line. And he's not good at all those things. So what we also do is when we're talking about a small business where maybe there's a few people or one person, even a solo entrepreneur, but that has the potential to grow and is doing it all and is sitting down and saying, okay, well, what are you good at? Where are your strengths? Coming back to what I was talking about in the beginning is where are your strengths best utilized? Mm-hmm. And so let's have you do that. And let's have you do more of that. What makes you money? I mean, bottom line, the number one job of a CEO in a company, small or large, is to sell. And you sell customers, you're the brand ambassador, maybe you're not sitting down and doing day-to-day sales meetings, but you're always selling, right? You're always communicating the vision. You're selling your team. You're selling vendors. You're selling the market, right? You're doing that all the time. And so, looking at that and saying, what is most important? What are the high value tasks? And then what are the tasks that are lower value necessary, but lower value tasks that you can delegate out? And let's start delegating those and freeing you up so you can do what you do best. You make more money, you work less hours, you get greater results, and you start enrolling a team so you're not now doing it all by yourself.
And that's changing their mindset that how much I have to do versus how do we get this done by different people on the team.
Yes. And when we talk to, I know some of the people that you work with, a lot of the companies are larger companies. This example can be applied to a manager, somebody that is managing a department. And it all, you know, at the end of the day, the team, let's say if the team doesn't do what they're supposed to be doing, it lands on the manager's lap. They got to, you know, if it is to be, it's up to me. I got to get it done. Right? They pick up the pieces. I know managers that are not good at delegating. I know managers are not good at managing, but also not good at delegating to other people and find themselves having to pick up the ball because they know at the end of the day, they're responsible for those results. And so there's a number of things going on there. But one of the things is like looking at their mindset and saying, why do they believe that they're the only one that can do this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I noticed in doing the research, you also talk about being a strategic intervention coach. Now, does that cover with the 7-day a week guy, or is that something a little different? But that sounds intriguing. What?
Yeah. So that comes from I did a 1-year strategic intervention coaching program with Tony Robbins organization, Robbins Madonis training. And the material, I wasn't coaching personally with Tony. That's $1 million a year to coach with him personally. But it was based on his material. So it was actually unpacking what he does, how he does it, why he does it. And so it was a year-long program that I did. And it was really about those interventions. If anybody has seen Tony, you know, do an intervention and start, you know, helping people to shift the way they see themselves, the way they see others, the way they see the world around them, you know, so it's that. And so I incorporate that. Some specific tools I have found that have been very, very effective in helping people to shift. And one of the ones I talk a lot about is what he calls the triad. And the triad is, you know, if you want to change your experience, you want to change your perspective, how you feel about, you know, a certain situation or life in general, you change your words, change your focus, and you change your state. And as I have done a lot of other personal development programs, and everybody talks, you know, there's like gratitude and you need to do affirmations and you need to do this and you need to associate with the right people and you need to read books and vision and have a vision board and all these things. There's a lot of to-dos.
Sure.
Which can get very overwhelming for someone. Anyway.
Yeah, full-time job.
Absolutely. And for some it is. So I looked at it and said, how does it fit into this framework? And so you think of change your words, change your focus, change your state, change your words. You know, notice the words that you say to yourself. What do you say? I mean, I've had clients who say, oh, I'm such an idiot. Well, don't say that. Do you want that to be true? Well, then if you don't want it to be true, then don't say it. Right? So because your mind, your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what's real or imagined. So whatever you tell it and repeatedly tell it, it's going to believe. It's going to become a pattern. It's going to become, you know, there's neural pathways that are developed. So changing your words, noticing the words you say to others. What are you saying? What are you putting out there, you know, about the economy? What are you putting out there about who people are? You know, are those customers, you can't find good people, right? You know, our customers are always wanting a discount. People are so cheap nowadays. Those are all the words, and our words have creative power. So we're actually creating our own reality while we're doing that. Changing our focus is where gratitude exercises come in, and you know, being grateful for and changing our what we're focusing on. Are we focusing on problem? Are we focusing on opportunity? Are we focusing on solutions? Are we focusing on criticizing other people? Are we focusing on what we don't like about other people? this other person that annoys you and that keeps doing the same thing and grates on you? Are you focused on the things that annoy you about that person? Or are you thinking about the things that you appreciate about them? Because whatever you focus on will increase, it will expand. And so it's, and are you focusing on your past? Or are you focusing on your future? Are you focusing on your present? Where are you at, right? Even sure. Like you're an accountant, right? When they focus on their numbers, where are they focusing? And where do they need to be focusing, right? Yep. So that's focus. And then the last one is changing your state. And your state can be changing your physiology, getting yourself moving, right? People get stuck and you know, even like a depressed person, you can tell if somebody is depressed or not. You just need to look at them and you can see by their body language. And some people's body language, our bodies tell a tremendous story. And so how do we use our body to show up confidently, and to shift our experience, our perspective? But it's also where the association comes in. Change your state might be changing your environment. It might be changing the office setup. It may be getting away and having that space and that quiet time so you can think. So what I've actually done is taken all of those personal development concepts and things that are really valuable and looked at it and said, what is most important? What's valuable? What's, you know, and eliminate the redundancies and then incorporate that into this model. And that's, as I said, that's something that I learned, that triad mm-hmm. itself, I expanded on it, but the triad is actually what I learned from Tony. So that's part of the strategic intervention, is you actually are strategically intervening into a situation to create a new outcome.
All right. Well, that's really helpful. And Nicole, anything else you'd like to share with the audience today?
Well, Alex, I feel like I've been talking a lot. Yeah. And so
you got a lot of passion. You shared it with us. It's been great. And what other areas would you like to cover?
Well, no, I think what's important for people to realize that it's possible that wherever you are right now, and I've experienced a lot of ups and wonderful successes in life. I've also experienced, great difficulty, epic failures. And to know that wherever you are right now, there is a solution. Now, you may not see it, may not be aware of it, but there is a solution out there and there's a pathway forward that you can maneuver. You can get yourself out of that, navigate out of that. And so just even believe that that is possible opens up a world of possibility. The last thing I would say is that if anybody has more questions or they want to reach out and say, okay, how do we unpack this? They want to talk about their own personal specific situation, business case or whatever. They can reach out to me. They can go to discovertheedge.com. You can email me at njansen@discovertheedge.com. Have the podcast. You were on my podcast, Leaders of Transformation. And you can listen to that podcast. And I also have a book coming out, which I'm really excited about. I co-authored a book called Power Up Super Women with a number of women who, talk about stories of encouragement, empowerment. And that book comes out in February. And so I'm excited about it. My chapter is called Worthiness from Within. And I actually talk a little bit about this triad and how it applies in that situation. And so if anybody's interested in that, then they can go to my website. It's there for, it's available for them to order there.
Nice. All right. Well, congratulations on the book. And we'll have discovertheedge.com in the show notes as well. And Nicole, thanks for coming on. You've been a great guest and had a lot to share with the audience, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Alex. I appreciate the opportunity.
If you're liking Confident ROI, or even if you don't, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast. Thanks.